Absolutely no, you don't get to tax my gold. The reason I have to own it is because you're an idiot. The gold itself is a tax because I've got to protect myself from you because you don't know basic child's arithmetic.
Zach Abraham, our final episode of the year.
The Christmas episode. We should have worn like Santa hats today or something.
I know.
Like that.
I really should have. I was also planning to be in good cheer for the final episode, but instead I want to talk about tax evasion. Real tax evasion.
The other thing is, you know what, honestly, I think we make good company in this way. I don't really think, right after I said that, I don't think you and I are Santa hat kind of people.
No, maybe reindeer. Santa hats aren't sexy. And obviously, when people think of me, the first word they use is sexy. You know, she's
likewise.
Real sexy.
Yes, likewise.
Reindeer antlers is more my vibe, you know? So let's talk about sort of money moves for the end of the year for people, and then maybe some New Year's resolutions. I definitely have some New Year's resolutions related to money. You'll probably laugh at them, but I look forward to running them past you. So money moves for people at the end of the year. Just any good money moves you suggest for people as the year comes to a close?
One comes to mind, and I tell our clients this all the time. I think one of the most underutilized and forgotten parts of a portfolio of saving for retirement and you know all the things that goes with it is the funding of Roth IRA accounts. So I would say fund your Roths. End of year is also a really good time to sit there and go, hey, how did we do this year? And if your portfolio didn't do that great this year, it's telling you something, and it's telling you that you don't have a very diversified portfolio. Because if you didn't, I mean, US markets didn't do bad this year, but if you weren't up 20% plus, it's because you're all US tech. And that should be a warning sign, because that's not going to be where you want to be.
All right. And then there is the dreaded New Year's resolution. Mine for like the last 15 years of my life has been to lose weight, but I'm in my skinny girl era right now. I don't need to lose any weight. So I feel pretty good about letting that one go. But
wow.
I have some financial goals, and they might sound silly to you because they're so small and maybe stupid. I am first 3 months of the year. No Home Goods. I'm not going to Home Goods one time. I'm not stepping foot in Home Goods. No Target. I'm not going to Target first 3 months of the year, okay? No Sephora. I'm not going to Sephora. I have more than enough makeup to last me 10 years. I'm not going to Sephora at all. And no Starbucks. No Starbucks. Oh, just the first 3 months of the year. So how much money am I going to save?
I don't know. I'm still taking notes on that because I am going to make my wife listen to this episode.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No. Don't do that to her.
All the things you were knocking off, and I was sitting there going, boy, I see that on my statement quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Sephora, Home Goods. Well, and the other thing is, if you're dying for Home Goods, just shoot my wife a text and she can videotape her marauding through Home Goods. She loves that place.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm obsessed with it. But I seriously think I've become like a fixture at my local Home Goods where people know to expect me there.
Oh.
And I'm kind of embarrassed by it at this point, because I go there so often and my husband's like, we do not need anything else. And like, I brought home two lamps the other day and I hid them in the back of my truck for like, or my SUV for like a week. And then I snuck them into the house and I put them in the office. And I don't know if he's quite noticed that they've made their way, you know, one into one room, one into the other. So it's a problem. So I have a problem. But I also think I'll save a lot of money.
Well, you will. No. And so here's the funny thing about, I always get asked about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
I have never had one.
Oh.
Never done one.
Should we create one for you? No?
I won't do it.
Okay.
I'm really weird like that, like in the sense that if I've got something that I want to tackle or something, I'll start it at a very random time. Okay. And then I will just hold to it.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, like that's one thing I'm good at. I don't have the best imagination, not artistic, but I can usually chart a course and hold to it. But yeah, I've never done the resolution thing. So, but I think there's some hidden gold in what you were saying there, because whenever we're setting out and making goals, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's working out, whatever. The biggest mistake you see is that people make the goals too untenable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I actually like your financial goals. Why? Because they're very achievable. right? There's something that you can keep a measurement on over a short period of time. You can have a weak win, right? You get to the end of the week, you're like, hey, I check that box, mm-hmm. right? They're measurable and they're achievable. And it's a fascinating thing I've learned about goals is we think about discipline in goals.
Yeah.
Really what we want to do is we want to get that feedback loop, that dopamine dump. We want to get it working in our favor, right? And the easiest way to get it working in your favor is to set small measurable goals that you can achieve. And you start gaining goal momentum. So if I was sitting there talking about people that were trying to get their financial lives in order, ironically, that's where we'd start with goals like you just put out.
Yeah.
Right? Because I always, and it's like in life too, and I tell this to my football team. What are your goals? I want to win a championship. Okay, that's not a goal, that's a dream.
Yeah.
A goal is something that we can do today.
Yep.
And a goal is something that we can do tomorrow and we can track it. And that's how progress is made. It's like that old, you know, saying you climb a mountain one step at a time. It's cliche, but it's true, right? And all too often we stand at the bottom of the mountain and try to wish ourselves to the top rather than just taking the first step. So I say this to young people all the time. If you're in debt, the first step of getting out is changing habits.
Yeah.
Because debt is the result of habits. So let's just change our habits. And eventually if we do that, the debt will go away and the debt will become a surplus, right? And so I think you made wonderful goals. Thank and I would challenge everybody to start that way. Get momentum, right? It's just like working out. We all sit there and we go, oh, I've broken my promise to myself. I never keep my New Year's resolution. Well, what if you made it like 1/5 as hard and actually accomplished it this time?
Yeah.
Right. And then move it forward a little bit. And that's how you do it. So I like it. Good job.
Yeah. Well, it's easier than like say, my resolution is to lose 10 pounds in January. Okay. Well, now you're setting yourself up for failure. Like make your resolution to, you know, go to get a gym membership or whatever it is. But, you know, part of what I realized with some of that spending around like Home Goods and Target, and it's not to say like I have disposable income, you know, if I want to go to Home Goods and buy something, I should go. But it's almost like it's totally mental, like Starbucks. And then I get the coffee and I'm like, I don't even want this. It's like this mental, like I've just got it in my hand. And then I drink half of it. And I'm like, well, now I just wasted $8 on a latte. I didn't even need or want because you're just going because you go. You're going because I go. I'm going to Home Goods because I drove past and I'm like, oh, Home Goods. So I feel very confident I can stick to these goals and I'll save some money in the process.
There, my wife and I laugh about this all the time because there is an upside to poverty. And I don't mean real poverty. I'm not making light of poverty, but the kind of poverty my wife and I endured when, you know, we had to go to the store with a grocery list, and the grocery list wasn't so we wouldn't forget anything. The grocery list was if we didn't buy those things in precisely those quantities, we didn't have enough money to get everything, right? And, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. But one of the things that we laugh about is it really broke that retail thing in us.
Yes.
You know, that having to have the new thing, having to have the thing. And I look back on that and I'm so like, that was a miserable, we had a good time. We made it, you know, we were young and made it as good a time as we could. But the most valuable thing I take from that is it broke that thing, you know? Yeah. There were just several years there where we didn't have the money to have the cool jeans or the, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it was the way it was. And like I said, I like it because you realize how much of that stuff you can go without and it doesn't do anything.
100%. You get it and you buy it and you're like, oh, okay, now what? You know, so
yeah,
the retail
totally.
Obsession that Americans have. All right, let's do a little watchdogging. So a new session is going to be upon us in the Washington state legislature. Before we know it, we already know they're going to try to get an income tax. They're going to try to get maybe a new business tax or something. But there is an effort to undo a tax they did this past year. So I don't know if a lot of people heard about this because they passed so many new taxes, the largest package of tax increases in state history. So some things kind of snuck onto the radar. So they, starting January 1st, are taxing the sale of like gold and silver, of precious metals. So precious metal bullion and monetized bullion. So those had been excluded from the definition of wholesale or retail sale. And so they weren't taxed. They weren't subject to the B&O tax. If you're selling those, it wasn't subject to a sales tax. So that ends January 1st. So people who, you know, play and work in that market are freaking out about it, and Republicans are trying to undo the tax. Do you think that these things should be taxed? Do you have a strong opinion about it?
No, I don't think they should be taxed. It's not income. And more importantly, I think that they shouldn't be taxed because of the traditional relationship between our currency and the value of gold, meaning gold is literally a way that we protect the capital that we have earned from the politicians that so belligerently spend and compromise our financial future.
Yeah.
Right. So absolutely no, you don't get to tax my gold. The reason I have to own it is because you're an idiot. Right. Like the gold itself is a tax because I've got to protect myself from you because you don't know basic child's arithmetic. Right. Yeah. But on the face of it, these are the nature of the idiotic taxes this state passes. All you will mark my words, that tax will be net negative to tax revenue, because all you're going to do is push that business activity right over state borders. Because you look at gold, gold's at 4,000 an ounce. Look at silver, we're taking 66, 67 bucks an ounce. Okay, it ain't 18-year-olds with the leftover money from working at McDonald's that are walking in and buying that.
Yeah.
It's people with money that don't trust you already. Do you think they're going to opt in to buy it from you? Or do you think they're going to buy and sell it off market? If I go to my buddy and I want to buy $100,000 worth of gold, and if I own $100,000 of gold, I'm betting you dollars to cents that neither one of us like the government very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think we're going to there's no serial number on that. There's no way the government can track gold. If they do, you just melt it down and you go, oh, I bought it down, melt it down. I paid your tax.
Yeah. I've had this is gold from the family. It's family gold.
Right. It literally, there's no way to enforce it. So what are you going to do? The only people that can't avoid that tax are the businesses.
Yes.
So they're gone. Yep. They're gone.
Yep.
They're gone. So that you cauterized a part of revenue there, not huge, but it cauterized the revenue. And because of your need to pay the other one, why are you taxing bullion and gold? Because you think that only conservatives own it. It's a tax.
Bingo.
Free,
it's
a risk-free tax to them.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, and this goes to show you right here, the feigned empathy and the real complete belligerence and complete lack of caring when it comes to the populace, especially if they don't vote like them. But especially here, you are going to drive out primarily small businesses that are family owned, which I'm old enough to believe that I remember a Democratic Party that used to care about that kind of stuff, right? You're going to drive them out, and it's going to result in no extra tax revenue. It's going to be a net negative in revenue. I guarantee it. And why? For political expedience, you can pat yourselves on the back. It's just the whole thing is just absurd. They literally cut their nose off to spite their face. You do look at them and go, well, how does this benefit you? You're not going to get any of that revenue.
Yeah.
You're not. You won't get it done.
Interesting, the angle of like more, you know, libertarian or government suspicious people. You know, now that I think of a lot of the taxes that they passed, I'm like, you know, like they passed a tax this past year on RVs, you know, because it's a luxury, right? Which is weird because don't all the homeless people live in RVs in Seattle? I don't think they're buying luxury goods. But you know what? I'm not saying liberals don't own RVs, but I do think it's more of a red thing.
Absolutely. I mean, go to RV Center. What RV World? What's it called? Camper World? Whatever it is. Tent, whatever. Camping World. They sell a bunch of RVs.
There's a bunch of
anyway,
them.
Anyway. Yeah, but yeah, go take a poll. I bet you 65% of their shopping base, 65 to 70% are probably Republican. But go look at it's like all the taxes they pass in the state. I mean, if you look at them, the vast majority seem to be aimed at and that's just what a reckless, disingenuous, and cynical way to run tax policy. Mm-hmm. And then they're worried about fascists and authoritarians. It's just so rich.
Yeah. The more I think about the tax on gold thing, it is wild because you're basically trading one sort of thing of monetary value for another thing of monetary value. And that's like me going to the bank and being like, hey, can I get ones for this 20? You know, well, and then they're like, yes, but we have to add a tax to that transaction.
Especially as it relates to gold, because the reason your gold is up is because your dollar is down.
Yeah.
And now you get a bonus off that. So you completely eroded and crushed the value of the dollar. And now as I cash in the hedge that I wisely put in place, because I knew what you were going to do, now you get a part of my win from the dollar that you lit on fire.
Crazy.
Are you kidding me? Right? And that's what's so unique about gold. What drives up the price of gold? It's denominated in US dollars. The you know, watering down of the value of the US dollar, which they do through their profligate spending and vote buying and, influence peddling and all that kind of. And when all that's said and done, the one thing I buy as a hedge to shield my family from your fiscal profligacy, now you get to take a rip? Come on.
I know.
It's vomit inducing.
It's crazy. So Republicans introduced a bill to undo that. I don't think it'll pass because Republicans have no power in Olympia. Let's fit in one more quick thing. More billionaires are chipping in to the Trump accounts for kids. So joining the Dell family and contributing private money to fund those accounts. At the same time, GM announcing it's giving $242 million to help invest back into rebuilding the trades. You know, this is something all year that President Trump, even more so than his first term, he has really excelled at, is getting private enterprise to buy into and fund his ideas as president and fund things that he's passionate about. Why do you think he's so good at that, at getting private companies to open up their pockets?
Because he asks. I think that what those CEOs are responding to, I'm sure there's some doing it for nefarious reasons or whatever. But what I think what the majority of those guys are responding to is kind of an alarm bell that's going off. I think a lot of people in this country have woken up, especially really successful people on the more thoughtful side of things, have woken up and said, hey, we've got to all step in now and use some of the success we've had to try to turn the tide. Because we see what these young people are saying. We see this move towards socialism, which will be a disaster. But if we don't take action and pitch in, it's certainly going to encourage the spread of that kind of thinking and that kind of ideology. And the other thing is, I think that he asks. I think he thinks outside the box.
And I think to your point about, he asks. It's not just that he asks, but he doesn't demand or expect or shame or vilify. And you've got this left who's like, businesses are evil. They need to pay their fair share. We're going to extract that wealth from them by any means necessary. And then they call businesses greedy when businesses push back. And then Trump goes and he says, hey, how about you just give us that same amount that they're trying to take from you and do it for this, this, or this? And I just think there's this element of, I don't know what the saying is, I'll butcher it, like you get more with honey than vinegar or something. And I just think they want to be seen as good corporate citizens. I think they are good corporate citizens. But if anybody comes to you and says, like, with a gun to your temple, give me $20, you're going to feel a lot less passionate about being kind and helpful to that person than, if you're able to choose where your money goes on your own.
Yeah. And here's the most frustrating part. And this is just a basic lesson that should be taught in civics class. Does anybody know the nation on earth that has the greatest amount of tax revenue?
The United States of America?
Yep. Guess who pays the majority of that tax?
Yes.
Corporations and rich people. Okay. So, the reason I bring that up is if you're so sure that we need to get rid of capitalism, introduce socialism, explain that to me.
Yeah.
Because by your own metric, right? It's all, if you listen to a liberal talk, all economic success is basically taxation, which is hilariously ridiculous because taxation by definition is regressive in the sense that it doesn't build anything, right?
Yeah.
It tears things down, it limits things. But if your goal, which when you listen to any of these kids and sometimes adults espouse these socialist beliefs, the core of it all is believing that more of the money should go to the government. So why wouldn't you want the economic system that produces the most tax revenue?
Yeah, right. No, that makes no sense. They don't even know how dire it would be if capitalism didn't exist. It's
the worst thing that could ever happen is they get their way, right? Because if they get their way, the reason the people, whether you like it or not, people inheriting things, but the rich people and the most rich companies are there because they are the best allocators of capital.
Yeah.
The more you take from them and hand to the government, who is the worst allocator of capital, the less efficient the economy will get, the more the value of your dollar will drop, and the poorer everybody will be. And this isn't a theory. We've got many, many cases that we can go look at and see that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
So
yeah, let's celebrate and utilize all this wealth and all of this capital and all of this genius toward the benefit of the United States and everyone, as opposed to punishing them, extracting their wealth, and then pissing it away in the government bureaucracy. It's just like so obvious. All right, Merry Christmas. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh, Merry, great. Merry. Happy New Year. Happy holidays, everyone. It's, all right, Zach.
All the regulars.
We are going to have so much to talk about as soon as we're back from our brief holiday break, because the session will be starting. All these new tax policies will be flying. And so we'll be tracking them every step of the way for folks here on Swamp Watch. Zach Abraham, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.